ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, Chapter 17, entitled Mother Parvati Curses Chitraketu, Text Number 20. Please repeat. Guna pravaha etasmin kaha shapa ko anu anugraha kaha sargo narakaha ko va kim sukam dukam eva va guna pravaha etasmin guna pravaha etasmin kashapa konu anugraha kashapa konvanugraha kasvargo naraka kova kasvargo naraka kova kim sukam dukam eva va kim sukam dukam eva va guna pravaha etasmin kasapa konvanugraha kasvargo naraka kova kim sukam dukam eva va Please chant. Guna pravaha etasmin kasvargo naraka kova kim sukam dukam eva va guna pravaha etasmin kasapa konvanugraha kaksargo naraka kova kim sukam dukam eva va guna kabaha etasmin kasapa konvanugraha kaksargo naraka kova kim sukam dukam eva va guna pravaha etasmin kasapa konvanugraha kasvargo naraka kova kim sukam dukam eva va guna pravaha etasmin kasapa konvanugraha kaksvargo naraka kova kim sukam dukam eva va Ladies. Guna pravaha etasmin kasapa konvanugraha kasvargo naraka kova kim sukam dukam eva va guna pravahe in the current of the modes of material nature etasmin this kaha what sapaha a curse kaha, what? Nu, indeed. Anugraha, A favor. Gaha. What? Swaragaha. Elevation to heavenly planets. Naragaha. Hell. Gaha. What? Va. Or. Kim. What? Sukam. Happiness. Dukam. Distress. Eva. Indeed. Va. Or. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. This material world resembles the waves of a constantly flowing river. Therefore, what is a curse and what is a favor? What are the heavenly planets and what are the hellish planets? What is actually happiness and what is actually distress? Because the waves flow constantly, none of them has an eternal effect. Please repeat. This material world resembles the waves of a constantly flowing river. Therefore, what is a curse and what is a favor? What are the heavenly planets and what are the hellish planets? What is actually happiness and what is actually distress? Because the waters flow constantly, none of them has an eternal effect. Purport. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, Miche mayar bhashe yachche bheshe gachcha hodudubo bhai. Quote, my dear living entities within this material world, why are you being carried away by the waves of the modes of material nature? End of quote. Jeev Krishna Das Evishvas Karle Tu Ada Dhukanai. Quote, if the living entity tries to understand that he is an eternal servant of Krishna, there will no longer be miseries for him. End of quote. Krishna wants us to give up all material engagements and surrender unto him. If we do so, where will the cause and effect of this material world be? There is nothing like cause and effect for the surrendered soul. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says in this regard that being put into this material world is like being thrown into a mine of salt. If one falls into a mine of salt, he tastes only salt wherever he goes. Similarly, this material world is full of miseries. The so-called temporary happiness of the world is also misery. But in ignorance, we cannot understand this. That is the actual position. When one comes to his senses, when he becomes Krishna conscious, he is no longer concerned with the various conditions of this material world. He is not concerned with happiness or distress, curses or favors, or heavenly or hellish planets. He sees no distinction between them. Om Ajnana Timirandasa Gyananjana Shalakya Chakshu Malitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Ukam Guru Diva Chalam Pangam Langayate Girim Yadgirbadam Maham Vande Sri Guru Dina Tarinam. So this is the situation in the material world. As Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is pointing out here, the living entities within this material world are being tossed by the waves of the modes of material nature. As Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, Purushak Prakriti Stohi Bhunkti Bhunkti Prakritir Janganan Karanam Guna Sangha Sarasat Joni Janmasu, that the living entities in material nature are following the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of material nature. It's just like you go to one of these water parks, if anyone's ever been. They have these big pools. I think it's called a wave pool. something like that. And when you get in it, it's nice and peaceful. And sometimes you can buy these or rent these tubes. And you sit in the tube and it floats around nicely. Then finally, or eventually, gradually, the water starts getting rougher and rougher. Until at some point, the waves are quite big. And what used to be quite peaceful turns into a chaotic situation. People start bumping into each other, falling off their tubes, screaming. Of course, a lot of people get excited by it all. And as soon as the waves start happening, they know what to expect. That there's going to be a lot of crashing and this and that. So, material world is like that. That it may be peaceful for some time. But at some point, eventually, we start crashing into each other. And we can see that every day. People are, we're not talking about auto accidents, but we're talking about people crashing into each other with their egos, their personalities, their lifestyles, their cultures, their religions, etc., etc. It goes on and on. And what we think to be a very peaceful situation is actually quite traumatic. We're just going on. We're thinking that this is the way it should be. And therefore we meet, just as the Lord states at the end of that verse, thus he meets with a good and evil amongst various species. So what initially appears to be a very peaceful situation is actually full of distress. And we all have practical experience of that. One can make what appears to be a very comfortable situation in this material world, but eventually it becomes very traumatic. And so the question arises, as Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out here, that why are we doing this? Jeev Krishna Das Avishwas Akarleta Ada Dukha Nai. Why are we going through this repeatedly? He explains here that if the living entity tries to understand that he is an eternal servant of Krishna, there will no longer be misery for him. That is the $1 million question or point. If the living entity tries to understand. And that's something that everyone has to eventually come to, has to come to that point that am I here for one reason or another? Should I try to make something useful of this life? So, because it's described in the Vishnu Purana that the living entity has the facility to live both in the material and spiritual worlds. But because he's so heavily influenced by the mode of ignorance, by avidya, which covers his constitutional position, he's subjected to the threefold miseries. In other words, we have the option, we have the facility in this human form of life to get out of this material world, or we can stay here perpetually. We have that option. Krishna is so kind. He's so merciful that he gives that facility. And if we choose to stay here in this material world, it means threefold miseries. Some or other, we're subjected to this misery or that misery. We can't avoid it. It's just the nature of material life. And being in deep ignorance, one doesn't realize that he's in that condition. Just as in the Bhagavatam, there's a very nice story of King Indra when he had to take on the hog body. He was in such deep ignorance that he thought this is quite normal, or it's not a bad situation after all. Until finally, the Lord Brahma had to come and wake him out of his ignorance. So, if we try to understand that we're eternal, as is described here, if the living entity tries to understand that he's an eternal servant of Krishna, there will no longer be misery for him. So, what we need to do is understand how we're eternal servants of Krishna. Ekala Ishvara Krishna Ara Sarva Bhritya. Krishna is described as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's the Supreme Controller. And all other living beings are his servants. They're meant to be engaged in his service. And when we engage in that service, as Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is pointing out here, there will be no misery. What to speak of repeated birth and death. Naithimam eti, so Arjuna, Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that for one who takes up this process of Krishna consciousness, understanding the activities of Krishna and understanding his appearance and activities and his words as we're hearing in Bhagavad Gita, then there's no question of coming back into this miserable condition. And Krishna wants us to give up all other engagements, as Srila Prabhupada writes here. It's not that Krishna is wanting his parts and parcels to rot here in this material world. It's not a natural position. Just like a father doesn't want that the son be separated from the family. It's not natural. It's just a miserable state. So Krishna doesn't want that we stay entangled in this material world, but he wants that we give up all other engagements. Therefore, he makes his appearance, and time again, the Lord states, Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago, go to Chandra Bole. Lord Gauranga is calling. Whenever I hear that line, actually, I'm reminded of Nirantara's singing of that song during Rath Yatra. Lord Gauranga is calling. It's a really fabulous song. But the fact is that the Lord is calling. Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago. He's explaining, or he's calling out to the living entities, as Prabhupada points out here. Krishna wants us to give up all other engagements. So he comes and he calls the conditioned souls that, please wake up. Wake up, sleeping souls. You've slept so long in the lap of the witch called Maya. So wake up and give up all these other useless engagements and just surrender onto him. And it's not that Krishna is the kind of boss that you may find in material life, where we work for someone and they don't really appreciate our work, or we feel we're not being compensated properly, etc., etc. No, Krishna is so such a thankful and a merciful personality that if you give up all other engagements and surrender unto him, then you're freed, as Srila Prabhupada is pointing out here. If we do so, the cause and effect or the miseries of material life will not be there. Right? There is nothing like cause and effect for the surrendered soul. Krishna explains that in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where he states, karma jambhuri yuktahi, that for those who engage in devotional service, the sages, the devotees, they're freed from the results of their work. Otherwise, as Srila Prabhupada is pointing out here, where will the cause and effect of this material world be? There's cause and effect in this material world because people are engaged in their own sense gratification. They're acting on behalf of themselves. But Krishna is so kind that that if we engage in his service, which is not a miserable service, it's not like in the material world. Again, work in the material world is a miserable thing. People are looking to avoid work in so many ways. Every day, the applications for unemployment increase. People are trying to avoid work. But working for Krishna is a whole different experience. It's very fun, as we experience every day here. It's fun to rise early. That little bit of austerity, it's actually pleasant. And then you get to come and see the beautiful deities and chant so very nicely in front of the deities with in the association of wonderful people. And then the rest of the day is there, prasadam and so many nice engagements. So it's Krishna's a very wonderful master, boss. So the devotees, because they're engaged in devotional service, they're freed from the results of their work in the material world. And that freedom means that they're freed from the cycle of birth and death. Because again, material life means work, and people by that work are, conditioned souls are gradually becoming more and more entangled. So to engage in a devotional service means that we're being freed from that entanglement, and the door to the spiritual world is there, going back to Godhead. So there's nothing like cause and effect for the surrendered soul. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says in this regard that this material world is like being thrown into a mine of salt. You can imagine how living in a or trying to survive in a mine of salt is would be intolerable. If one falls into a mine of salt, he tastes only salt wherever he goes. And Prahlad Maharaj also uses that a similar analogy, wherein he states that This material world is like falling into a deep dark well. Tatsaru mane suravarya dehinam sarasamugdina dvigna diyam asad grahat. Falling into a deep dark well where there's no water, there's no relief. So one who's accepted this temporary body or identifies with this material condition is subjected to the miseries of material life. And it's certainly an embarrassing situation. This material body is in many ways very embarrassing. We try to do our best to doctor it up or lift it up, or patch it up. But it's actually just an embarrassing condition. And so therefore, Prahlad Maharaj describes that falling into such a condition is it's very embarrassing and just full of suffering. So Srila Prabhupada gives this example of falling into a salt mine in a similar way, that we're falling into this material world. It's it may look very pleasant, just like if you have some food preparation, and it may look very good, and we do all sorts of things to make it look very attractive, or it even smells very good, especially our cooks. They can identify with this. It may look very good. It may smell very good even. And even by the touch, it may look very good. But as soon as you taste it, it's totally spoiled. So this material world is like that, that it may sometimes look very good. And we think that, well, this particular object may be a very good thing, or something may smell very good, or something may taste very good, but actually when you try to experience it, it becomes a hellish nightmare. So one has to, and of course Maya is so expert that she makes us or makes it appear that it's very pleasant. But as soon as you taste it, as soon as you try to partake in it, as soon as you try to enjoy it, you're snatched, and it's actually a miserable condition. One year in Chicago, and I think it was in 75, Srila Prabhupada was in Chicago, and he was giving a class, and at the end of class, Prabhupada would distribute prasadam, and they brought him some halava. And when he took it and he was tasting it, he stopped and asked, "Where's the cook? Who did this?" And they brought the cook from the kitchen, and Prabhupada just blasted the cook that, what have you done here? You put salt in this halava. And the devotee said the wrong thing. They said, well, Krishna's mercy. Prabhupada just got so angry. He said, no, it is your ignorance, your foolishness. That's what he said, your foolishness. So we may think that this material world is a very pleasant situation, and it looks good or it smells good, but as soon as you try to taste it, as soon as you try to experience it, it becomes very miserable. It becomes a very, it's a total turnoff. But the living entity is so foolish that time and time again we engage in materialistic activities, or we turn away from Krishna. Itmatma patam griyamanda kupam. That verse from Prahlad, he explains that the bodily concept of life is a place where spiritual culture or self-realization is stopped. As soon as we identify with the bodily concept of life, then self-realization is stopped. It's stunted. And therefore, he, for that reason, he describes it as a deep well. As you fall into it, there's nothing there. It's frightening. So-called happiness, as Prabhupada points out here, the so-called happiness of the material world is also misery. But in ignorance, we cannot understand this. It's just like being dunked in water. They have this torture that so many in ancient times, or maybe they still do it, water dunking, what do they call that? Waterboarding, same principle. You feel like you're drowning. You get dumped into this, or dumped into a vat of water, and at the last moment, when it's just you can't take any more, you're let up, and you gasp for some air, and you find some relief. Actually, it's not relief. It's just a temporary cessation of your misery, and then again you go back down into the water. So this is the actual experience that the so-called temporary happiness of this world is also misery. But in ignorance, we cannot understand this because we're so influenced by the avidya, by the modes of material nature, the bodily concept of life. Whatever happiness we're experiencing in this world, it's just temporary. It's not reality. But once in a while, there's a little bit of relief. There's a little bit of cessation from that misery. Okay, well, today the body's not bothering me. Okay, today my mind is not so bad. Okay, today the neighbors aren't so bad. Oh, well, today it's sunny. But in actuality, all it is just a temporary cessation of miserable material life. So Prabhupada writes here, that is the actual position. When one comes to his senses, now that's an important point Prabhupada makes here, when one comes to his senses, when he becomes Krishna conscious. So the point is that now, especially now, as Lord Chaitanya is pointing out, that one should wake up, because we're in a haunted condition. It's just like a haunted person. They're possessed. They don't really understand who they are or what they should be doing. So, material life, a materialistic life, or engagement in materialistic activities is like being haunted. But when one comes to his senses, when he becomes Krishna conscious, he is no longer concerned with the various conditions of this material world. He is not concerned with happiness or distress. Narayana Paraksarve Nakutaschana Bibhyati. The Bhagavatam describes that the devotees, because they're engaged in devotional service, and that's their only engagement, there's no other concern for them. As Prabhupada writes here, he's not concerned with happiness or distress, curses or favors, or heavenly or hellish planets. So, and of course that's not something that is artificially done, as Prabhupada makes this point also in his purport. When one comes to his senses, when he becomes Krishna conscious, it's not that it's something that's artificially done. We can't pretend. We can't pretend to be liberated souls, or we can't pretend to be Krishna conscious. It has to be real. One has to actually experience the process, and that means applying it properly. And when that's done, then one develops this, or gets the benefit in full. And as Prabhupada points out here, he sees no distinction between them. His only concern is to be engaged in devotional service. So, this is some very nice conversation we're hearing from the Jiva soul speaking to Chitraketu. It's a very wonderful verse. So we'll end there. Are there any questions or comments? Fine. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.